and gentlemen, you're about to enter the fascinating world of forensic medicine with Marie Lassiter.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 15th of December. The prep tip of the day is to get yourself a second stream of income. It's going to be different things for different people. I have several opportunities at my website, including Amsoil products, which I used for decades, and most recently, LifeWave products. You need to check those out. I'm starting to use them myself and having great results. We have with us my friend Marie Lassiter. Marie is the elected coroner of the largest county in the state of Missouri, not quite as big as Rhode Island, about 300 square miles short of the entire state of Rhode Island. And she's the author of three books for sale at Amazon.com. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning, John.
Well, my dear, I know you do preparation for the show every week. We're glad to have you with us as always. And you have a list in front of you. What's the first thing on your list, my dear?
Well, it's been quite a busy week, a lot of 18-hour days, couple terrible motor vehicle crashes, and I think our motor vehicle fatality rate is like 39 right now, as opposed to like 27 last year. So everything's doubling. Cancer rates are doubling, the automotive crashes are doubling, and it's quite challenging. I have a few other projects going on, and one of them is getting the senior tax freeze passed. Our commissioners tried to do an end run around that, so I've been helping get a petition for signatures to get it on the ballot in April. And we have about 20% more signatures than what we even needed. My commissioner has a problem with that, I guess. He called an emergency salary commission wanting to decrease my salary by $10,000. Nobody would vote for that, so it didn't go through. But there is definitely harassment even at this low level. if you try to, you know, get something going constitutionally that serves the people, you become a target. And I think I know other people that have emailed me at my Proton Mail account, which is Marie Lassiter at protonmail.com, and it's tough. But I don't scare. If you mess with me too much, I just get mad. And when my Irish gets up, there's no stopping me. So anyway, there's that. I just thought I'd share that. So that was part of my day yesterday, and then last evening I spoke with a neighborhood watch group. The sheriff's office actually deploys me to different townships in our county, and last night was down at Clear Springs, and it was a wonderful group, and that's my relaxation. I talk about plants, and I took this time of year, it's kind of hard to gather plants to talk about, so I brought things for people to see and eat. And one of them, I brought some of my hickory nuts I'd harvested. And even though these people have lived in the Ozarks all their life, they'd never tasted a shellbark hickory nut, which are amazing. And then I have tons of black cherry trees, which are considered a bad tree because there's some literature that if the branches fall on the ground and wilt and the cattle eat them, it can be poisonous.
Really?
So everybody clears them out of their property. I've never had a problem all the years I've owned horses. But the black cherries are wonderful. They kind of grow in a group. They're really easy to harvest. Just kind of slide your hand down over the cluster of cherries. And the best thing about black cherries is that it's really, really good for high blood pressure. And I'm sure that there's listeners that have purchased the black cherry juice, which is really expensive, like $20 a gallon. But I actually made some black cherry jelly last night, took with me, let everybody have a taste. And it's amazing flavor. And one of the attendees at the Neighborhood Watch said that he had used it for gout, and that it just totally, just after, you know, taking a few doses of the black cherry juice, that his gout literally disappeared. And that really makes sense if you look at the chemistry of black cherry juice. So it's we live in Missouri. We got all this stuff out there for free. Probably if it's not on your place, maybe within a mile of your place. So that was fun. That's my stress relief, is dealing with plants. But the first thing I had on my list, though, John, I'm talking fast because there's so much going on, is I was going to talk about fear of hospitals. I had a little spell. It was transient. And my husband's like, well, you need to go to the hospital. I said, I will not go to a doctor, and I will not go to a hospital for sure, because I don't want to be in their clutches, because I'm the Monday morning quarterback that sees all the malpractice.
Right, right.
Well, anyway, I always, a combination of God and prayer and just taking care of myself has always worked, quite frankly. So, well, as you know, I brought my brother down here, and he has his own place now, and he's got his vehicle all registered from Missouri. And, well, we were going to go out, do shopping and just do fun Christmas stuff. Well, he messaged me late at night saying, I'm in the hospital. I'm like, oh boy. So what it was, he has congestive heart failure. So periodically, you know, his feet will swell, and really all you need with that is a diuretic and some potassium. So
right.
He went to the hospital thinking he'd be released pretty soon. Well, they had him stay overnight. So he wakes up in the morning. He's like, well, I want to go home. And they said, you can't go home. He's like, why not? They said, because you have to wait to see the doctor. So he waited till 7:30, and he's my brother. He's a little impatient. He said, well, I'm going home. They said, you can't. He's like, why not? They said, because you have medication in your system. He's like, what medication? They said, well, we gave you an Ambien last night to sleep. And he's like, well, I'm going. So they called the police on him. Obviously, the Houston City Police, I don't think they took that call very seriously, that someone that had an Ambien the night before was driving back to his apartment. But yeah, the hospital literally called the police on my brother.
Really?
And then that happened. And that was already on my radar because of that judgment and that goes along with the Netflix movie Taking Care of Maya. And that involves a young girl that had it's a chronic pain syndrome that when you're born with it, your nerves are super active, and the only thing that relieved her pain was ketamine therapy. And her mother was seeking that for her in the United States as opposed to having to go to Mexico, and was Johns Hopkins is where she was. So they literally isolated the daughter, who was, I think, a young teenager at that time, and got a restraining order against her mother, wouldn't let her mother see her. And so during this time, the mother killed herself.
And, really?
And I can see that. There's a period of time where I wasn't able to see my granddaughter because of circumstances, and I was quite distraught. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that, how stressing it is. And just imagine not being able to see your child and accusing her of harming her child, et cetera. Well, she died, so the family brought a lawsuit, and I believe they got like $50 million against Johns Hopkins. So hospitals are scary. A lot of people don't want to go to hospitals. Obviously, they sneak in medicines. My brother didn't know they gave him an Ambien. You know, he had no clue. He didn't consent to it. And and like I said, if you try to leave, they'll call the police on you. So
Ambien, it would be called generically a sleep medication?
Yeah, it's a sleeping pill. Yeah.
Sleeping pill. Okay.
And I'll just tell a couple of stories as a nurse. Oh gosh, there's twice when I snuck patients out of the hospital. Excuse me, we don't have a cough button. Or we probably have one, I don't know where it is.
Right.
Anyway, when I was a new nurse and working at Vanderbilt, I had a patient, he was a young dentist, and he had a colostomy. So he was there for an experimental procedure called the Koch's continent colostomy, where they put the colostomy inside under your skin. So you didn't have an external bag as a dentist. You didn't want to have a colostomy bag in front of his patients' faces. Well, and I was only like 19 years old then, but I remember this so clearly. The residents came in, you know, and they go in a big flock, and it's Vanderbilt, and so I go and they pull off his covers, take off all his dressings, and just leave him there laying helpless. It just looks so forlorn. Of course, then they go on to the next patient. So I was getting off pretty soon. I said, "Do you want to get out of here for a while?" And he said, "Yeah." So I went to the doctor's room and got a pair of doctor scrubs. He put those on, and I took him out with me when I got off shift, and we went down the street. This is in Nashville. I can't remember this is at Vanderbilt. We went to a local bar that back then they had like backgammon nights. So we went and played backgammon, and I snuck him back into the hospital. No one even knew he was gone. So I didn't get in trouble for that one. But the next one, after I went from adult med surg then, where I'm positive I took care of Michael Anderson when he had like his jaw shaved and everything, and later became Michelle Obama, and I'll get back to her or him in a minute.
Okay.
I was working on pediatrics, and we had a little patient she was 16, but she had what's called Crouzon's disease, and that's where your skull kind of freezes so your brain can't develop. So she was only, I don't know, maybe 3 feet tall, but she was 16, and she was semi-verbal, and she was in a foster home. And the foster parents never came to see her. Well, it was Christmas, so I snuck her out of the hospital and took her to see Santa Claus at the mall and brought her back. Well, of course, her foster parents got upset. It was an international incident. Just one of those many times I've gotten in trouble as a nurse. But she had so much fun at, you know, going to see Santa Claus. And before I started like working with her and taking care of her, she was incontinent. They had her in diapers, and I had her fully incontinent. She could go to the bathroom, and I gave her my phone number, and she'd call me when I was off from the nurse's station and have a knock knock joke for me or something. And anyway, and also working on surgical peds, we had a child with lots of defects, and it's horrible. Our nickname for him, his last name was Pirtle, and we called him Pirtle the Turtle, which I know sounds horrible, but one of my fellow nurses adopted him. The nurse actually adopted him to take care of him.
You mean legally adopted?
Legally adopted him,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
He was kind of like a ward of the state, and that's the way nursing used to be. It's not like that now.
What's it like now?
Well, probably people that have been in the hospital could speak to that better. But I've had one tell me he had fallen from a tall ladder, broken his pelvis, and he was in the hospital, and he had to go to the bathroom. And he kept, you know, calling, you know, "I need to go to the bathroom," you know, and "we'll be in there in a minute, in there in a minute." And they never would come to help him. And, you know, he pretty much can't move because his pelvis is broken. So he had to soil himself. That's one I've heard recently. My brother's story, called the police on him. Nurses that just, the one I think I told you about, the gentleman that was hospitalized for 4 days and they gave him remdesivir without his knowledge. His wife said they were rude and mean to her, and she couldn't figure out why they were being so strange. Anytime she'd ask for help, they said, "Well, we'll get back to you, or we'll tell somebody. And all they did, because they put him falsely on the COVID ward, was scream at her that her mask wasn't on properly. And if you've ever put on a mask, you know you cannot keep that mask on for long over your face because you can't breathe. So
exactly,
those are two that come to mind. I'm sure one of the listeners might want to tell a hospital horror story that they've had. So that's been my big thing is, and I was actually kind of looking at this fear of hospitals as a topic when my brother, without my knowledge, he didn't want to worry me, you know, checked himself into the hospital. So,
right. Marie, ready for our first caller?
Yes, I sure am.
We have Carol in Missouri. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Carol, you're on the air. Go ahead. Okay, well, it looks like we lost Carol. And Carol, you're welcome to call back in, and we'll move on from there. My observation is they're trying to ramp up this white lung disease as the next pandemic. What are your thoughts on that, Marie?
Probably because everybody that took the shots has that NeoGel in their system, or even if you didn't take the shot, of course, it's in insulin injections. And I think Lantus has really been targeted as causing a lot of problems now, that particular type of insulin. My brother told me they gave him a Lovenox shot in his abdomen, which he didn't need. And that also has NeoGel in it. I'm like, why would you give him a Lovenox shot? That's for someone that's going to be hospitalized for a while and not walking around and, you know, has something that would cause blood clots. And that's not my brother. He's very, very active. And
good for him. Good for him. We do have another call here, Marie. We got Catherine in Maine. Good morning, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, good morning. I didn't hear the beep. Can you hear me?
We hear you fine.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, yep, there was no beep, John, so I just want to make sure. Okay, first, thank you so much, Marie. I know I love you. But I want to encourage you, okay, not to get angry with that councilman. We all need to be praying for him because the people that are bullies and, you know, do these kinds of, you know, pressure tactics that are manipulative, these are not happy people. You know what I mean? I wouldn't trade places with any of the bullies that I've had to face in my life, seriously. It's bad. It's really sad to go around and, you know, to put the kind of the pressure upon others that they do. And these are not happy people. So I think the Irish, you know, because I'm like three-quarter Irish. So I do get it. And at the Psychodrama Training Institute one time, I got a pamphlet. They used to do, I still have a copy of it. This was a long time ago. It wouldn't be legal now, but they had a 12 sessions for the Irish and Irish American families in New York City. I'm not kidding you. I'm an ENFP on Myers-Briggs, and psychodrama therapy is the number one job for us. Second is investigative journalist. So when at the university, she came in and handed me that, and I was like, oh, my mother's going to have a heart attack. You know, my RN mother, she's going to have a heart attack when she sees these as the top jobs for me. But they had this thing, and it was so funny, getting too big for your britches, the art of shunning, and it was all these things. And they told me we have so many similar problems with the Irish, you know, in New York City, that we had to start having group therapy sessions. But there's one more important thing about Maya that I wanted to add after the break.
Well, I'll add that after the break. Hold on, Catherine. We'll wrap up your thoughts after the break.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner. If you're tired of being tired, you need an energy cleaner. Arthritis pain, other pain got you down. You also need an energy cleaner. Details at my website. You can place your order right there. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. You can place your order at my website using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, Discover. Or you can call my toll-free hour line. You don't want to give out your credit card on the internet? A lot of people don't want to do that. My toll-free hour line is 800-592-9543. Visiting with Marie Lasseter, her three books for sale at Amazon.com. And Catherine from Maine, you got a follow-up question or comment. Go ahead.
Yes, regarding Maya Kowalski, I really like the 19-minute and 23-second video. I think it is Fox 9 Minneapolis, St. Paul. And I'm looking at the heading right now, Fox 9 Minneapolis, St. Paul channel. 1 month ago, Maya Kowalski sobs. His verdict is reached in trial. I mean, it's just like, I've never seen anything like it before. I can't even look at it. It just makes me want to cry. The jurors actually had tears in their eyes. And it was, but what I understood, Marie, is that her mother was Eastern European, Central European. I can't remember exactly which country. And I have lived with 30 different culture groups in Boston in my home. I've been in the blender. And anyone that ignores me and dismisses me is really dumb. I've been in the trenches of attrition warfare with this healthcare system here my entire life. I've always been persona non grata, okay? My entire life. I've seen it all in the hospitals. I have so many iatrogenic errors. I'm sitting on so many lawsuits. I should be living up on the hill. And what I keep finding, and this goes back to my earlier point, is that I'm sorry, I mean, upper middle class and lower upper class people, they get their knickers in their knot over anything. My God, you wouldn't even believe some of the things that I have had to forgive people for. You know what I mean? I'm getting my door kicked in by an alcoholic, 3 o'clock in the morning. You got to move. Police don't want to keep coming over, right? They're never going to evict him. I couldn't afford to move. I was in the middle of a surgery from an iatrogenic error, okay? I mean, the things that I have had to forgive, and then I got predated upon by someone. I'm serious. Connected at very high levels of power. No one would help me, okay? They tried to label me a paranoid. No, I was dumb. I was naive. I should have just not gone on down and tried to deal with the police about a situation, right? It's just unbelievable the things I've had to forgive. But because I was raised to pray and forgive my enemies and to pray for them, that puts that judgment is in God's hands. And God does move. I promise you. I've seen miracles happen to protect me. Just the fact that I'm alive is a miracle, but that I have a roof over my head. And I don't hate. I'm not a bitter person. So please, everyone, think about that. And then Maya Kowalski's mother, my understanding is they didn't like assertive women. You know what I mean? Assertive women are not popular, okay? And because she comes from that strong culture, that she chose to do that, not because she was a neurotic broad, depressed, but because she had stated that the only way she felt like the daughter could get out of that situation was if she did that. That would be the straw that broke that camel's back.
Yeah, and that was not that a,
my understanding
suicide.
Is was not a neurotic broad. She decided this is the only option in order to get her out of the jaws of this. And that, please, everyone, watch that Maya Kowalski 19-minute, 23-second video and just watch this. It was, like, amazing. And it's a med male, John, you know, is hard. No one will accept most of them. They're very hard to win. And so I was just really pleased that there was some justice dealt in spite of that ever. But I can just see that mother sitting there saying, you know what, I can't win this. So that kind of retaliation against assertive parents, you don't want to, you know, just blaming the mother. They were trying to blame the mother, okay, who was just trying to look out for the child's best interest. It was just unbelievable. So thank you, Marie, for your hard work. And you sound tired, to be honest with you. Get a nap today.
I'm exhausted.
Well, Catherine, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. I've got a bottom of the hour break coming up here. You want to get started with the next caller here, Marie?
Yes, and just real quickly for the listeners, what Catherine was referring to, iatrogenic, that means harm that's caused to you by the medical system. And it's in a lot of charts. It kind of dresses it up. Doesn't say malpractice or malfeasance, but they call it iatrogenic. And that literally means caused by the doctor or hospital.
Here's our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right there.
Okay.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available anyplace, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Gentlemen, we're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 15th day of December. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Need to check out the LifeWave products. I'm just getting to know them and use them myself. Wonderful technology. What these patches do is reflect the body's infrared energy back into the body to help with the healing and energy process. Great products. And, of course, Liberated Rocket Heaters, serious winter is right around the corner. It costs me less than $4 a day to heat my home with wood pellets with the Liberated Rocket Heater. And you can do the same thing. Details at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Marie Lassiter. Her website is The Liberty. What? Do you don't have a website? She has three books for sale at Amazon.com. And Marie, ready for our next caller?
Yes, I sure am.
Okay, we got Jill in Missouri. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Hi, Jill. Question,
hi, Marie. My question is addressed to both of you, if you would answer. It has to do with property tax. So I bought a property in Boss, Missouri in April of 2019. I built a storage building on it. I have not lived on this property and I'm right up to the present time because I haven't been able to find any men of integrity to build my house. But I am being taxed every year for residential and agricultural use. I've never done anything agriculturally on my farm, and I certainly haven't lived there. I'm calling it a farm because this is what the tax assessor is calling it. Now, when I looked up the tax codes, and that would be 137.016 for residential property and agricultural property, it says once it is established that the land is being used agriculturally, then you can tax it because of whatever revenue you make on it. So that means you would have sent in a return where they could assess how much to tax you for. Well, that hasn't happened in my case. And so my assessor says, well, anything over 5 acres is considered a farm in Missouri. Now, I haven't found that statute yet. And then when it comes to residential property, this code says that residential property shall not include other facilities used for transient housing, which is stuff that you would rent, you know, like an apartment or a bed and breakfast. So my residential, one of these days when I ever get to live there, is not going to be used for that, but just for me to live in. So I'm thinking it is not legal to be taxed residential or agricultural. And I have certainly heard Dave Hodges say that property tax is illegal. And then when I was talking to this assessor, I kept saying, well, according to the tax code for the Missouri Constitution, she says, well, the state tax code. So I said, well, are there two separate tax codes? And are you telling me that the state would trump the constitutional tax codes for Missouri? So she says, well, I don't tax. She says the collector taxes. So I talked to both of these women, the tax collector as well as the tax assessor. And they just ended up by telling me anybody who's a property owner in Missouri has to pay tax. But I'm not seeing that. So John and Marie, could you please tell me what the deal is?
I can send the documents to you. Coincidentally, because I've been working on the senior tax freeze, a gentleman I don't even know from my county has had a lawsuit going regarding the taxes for 5 years. And just like 2 weeks ago, he got a favorable judgment. They have to pay his taxes back. This man is not, he's an intelligent man. He could get no one to help him attorney-wise with the tax law. But he persisted, and his case net log is like 5 pages. They're beating him down, but he stuck with it. And one of the things is, and they have got to, in order to assess tax on your place or reassess it and raise the tax, they have to physically come out and inspect the place. And our assessor hasn't done that since 2005. And as part of the lawsuit, she admitted she did her, she used Google and Zillow to determine her assessments, which was not in her favor. Well, the story of this, he won his judgment, but they have banned him from the administrative offices in our county. So I've gotten him in touch with Dave Rowland, who's a constitutional attorney, and he will typically take these cases on pro bono. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with the taxes. Our residential taxes were raised like 15.6%. But I'd really love to put you in, his first name is Paul. I'd love to put you in touch with him. He's a world of knowledge, and he's really being under fire now just because he won that lawsuit. the county officials are being horrible to him.
I would love to contact this man because I just feel it's not right that I should be taxed at all at this point when I've never lived on this land, I've never farmed it, but I'm being taxed for the use of residential and agricultural. So, John, what do you know that you could help me out with this problem?
That's really not my area of expertise. I would defer to the information that Maria is providing, quite frankly.
Okay.
It is an issue.
Yeah, and if you wanted to know of a horror story in the hospital,
yes.
I had a wonderful uncle, and he had tumors around his anal area. They were cancerous, but we got him one of those nice lazy boy chairs, and he was able to sit in it without pain, and so he asked for hospice to come and help him. Well, all this nurse did was bring a bunch of needles, which were graduated for morphine, and he never really needed those, and she was teaching my mother and me how to use them, but we knew we weren't going to use them on him because we don't believe in that stuff, and he was getting along just fine. So when she realized that we were not going to give him the morphine, she fixed it so he had to go to the hospital, where they would be under the hospice control on the cancer floor. So I rode in the ambulance with my uncle, and they had me to sign a paper which would have given them carte blanche to do whatever, but I wrote a caveat on this paper before I signed it, and I said, do not give this man morphine or any pain-killing drugs. So that tied their hands for a bit until my mother and myself weren't around, and then they must have gotten him to sign another form which canceled out what I did, and they put him up on the cancer floor, and my mom was visiting with him when this little nurse comes in. She looks at the clock, and she changes the bag that was the drip that he had in his wrist. And he was having a lucid conversation with my mother, and then all of a sudden he says, I don't know what's happening to me. And so my mother goes and she's calling for help, but there's nobody around. So when my mom was on her way out the door, that's when this little nurse shows up, and she says, oh, you don't need to leave, ma'am. And my mother says, I'm leaving now. She says, and by the time I get home, I'm probably going to have 3 phone calls saying that my uncle is dead. And that was the case. So my mother watched this nurse murder my uncle. Whatever she put in that bag is what took him out of this world. And I would advise anybody to stay away from hospice if you have a loved one and you care for them, because what I see hospice does, their role is to take you off of the hospice role or whatever. They just want to get rid of you, and that's one less mouth to feed, I guess. So that's my horror story with the hospitals. I don't trust any of them, and all my life I've stayed away from doctors and hospitals because they're bad news. That's all I have to say today.
I agree. My husband knows. I told him if I collapse and I'm unconscious, and you just leave me lay. Do not call 911. Just leave me lay and let nature take its course.
Okay, Jill. Thank you for your call. Well, I had hospice for a year and a half with my deceased wife, and they were angels. I could not have managed without them. And of course, these are private organizations that only make money if the person remains alive. If the person dies, they no longer make any money. So it's certainly in their vested interest to keep people alive in hospice. And they were absolute angels, and I'm glad we had them. Looks like we've got another caller here. We got Mike in Kentucky. Good morning, Mike.
Well, I used to confuse the term, and now I can't remember what it is. When it comes to end-of-life care, there's a different word from hospice.
They call it comfort care.
Yeah, comfort care. Anyway, iatrogenic medical errors, I think they kind of trick you, like you mentioned, without going into detail. I think they kind of trick you into thinking that it's unintentional by the medical profession, but, you know, unless you're committing suicide by a doctor, the vast majority of the patients are not going to be intentionally going to be harmed. And so I think that's where that, and it's probably underreported, like vaccine injuries are underreported, don't you think? I mean, I've heard some pretty wild estimates about how many people die a year in America, you know, anywhere from 50,000 to 200,000.
Yeah, it's more exposed. It's coming to the forefront. There are some articles about how many people die from medical errors. And on the death certificate, if someone dies of a medical error, I only have five choices for manner of death. Natural homicide, suicide, accidental, or undetermined. Other states like New York do have an extra category, which is, I think they call it medical misadventure or something like that. And I'm really going to work with the commission that I'm on to try to get that added to our death certificate, because I'm having just to put it as accidental. If the surgeon, a woman was having a tubal ligation, she died. It was very complicated. But anyway, on autopsy, there was like a 2-inch long slit in her intestine from a scalpel slip, I assume. And but I had to call that accidental. And I really wish, like some other states, we do have that category for, you know, medical misadventure, they call it.
Well, a lot of it can be they're just following what they've been told to do, as far as like prescribing what's called polypharmacy. And some of that has never been adequately studied, thoroughly studied, to determine what the safety or outcome is of having people take 5 or 6 medications or more a day. I've heard some people on 3 and 4 blood pressure medicines, and I'm like, well, what? You got something else going on. You need to do something to get your blood pressure down. You can't, shouldn't be on that many, you know, plus whatever else they're giving them for cholesterol and all the things that can go along with that, like heart failure after about 10 years. And it's kind of sad to look at it and to see that that medical profession is so tainted with money. How many different misdiagnoses might occur just because somebody has low vitamin D, or maybe they've got something that makes their symptoms appear like schizophrenia, but it's not. It could be whatever, a spirochete, toxoplasmosis, or any number of other things. I guess you've read about that, right?
Yes. And my brother that I talk about, when I picked him up, they had him on lithium. I'm like, I said, why are you on lithium? They told me I'm schizophrenic. I said, you are not schizophrenic. You're bipolar for sure, but you're not schizophrenic.
Yeah,
and I got him off of it. And once I got him off of that, he was much brighter and normal, I guess, is the word.
In place, inflammation that's causing bipolar, I think, in a lot of cases. I know of a gal that was on lithium for something crazy, like 4 years. They never checked her blood level. Ended up in the hospital for heart palpitations. I said, well, it's a dang electrolyte. It's displacing your magnesium, potassium, and sodium. So big surprise.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. And my brother, when he was on lithium, I said, were they checking your levels? They'd never checked his level. And I, before I went to nursing school, I was a phlebotomist in a lab. And I remember the people on lithium coming in, oh, I don't know if it was every 2 weeks or at least once a month, to have their lithium level checked. I clearly remember that, and that was the standard of care, and then they just quit checking it. And, of course, everybody metabolizes drugs differently.
Like blood thinners, you got to check those regularly because your diet can change, your lifestyle can change. Maybe you go to the gym more and work out, so you're depleting your electrolytes. I mean, or you decide to, you know, split 5 cords of wood and you sweat out all your sodium. Your lithium kills you. Anyway, I'll let you go.
Okay, thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. We have our last break coming up here momentarily, and it's been quite a show, as always, Marie, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's, I'll just tell you, John, I have had some people email me and say I need 2 hours. But quite frankly, I'd love to do 2 hours, but sometimes squeezing in an hour is difficult for me. But I have 3 pages of stuff to talk about here. But one thing I really, really want to get in is it's a big deal now, the women that are dying within 1 year after childbirth. And I've got a little story about that. And, should I get started? Okay.
Yes. All right.
Oh, okay. So, I'm on the Governor's Commission on Coroner Standards and Training. Our last meeting last week, they have created a new department to examine why so many women are dying within 1 year after giving birth. So they have the head of that program come in, and I'm sure she's paid at least $75,000 a year.
Let's get back to your story after the break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back. Maria, get back to your story about this special committee that's been formed, please.
Okay. So anyway, she's talking about, as coroner, she wants us, any deaths that we become aware of. You have a woman that's, you know, died within a year of giving birth. She wants that reported because they're documenting this data. So, of course, I asked, are you getting vaccination information on these women? And she looked at me like I had three heads, right?
Right.
No. I said, well, you know, it's state law that on infant deaths or child deaths that we obtain vaccine information on, you know, child deaths. I don't see why you wouldn't get, of course, I'm being sarcastic because she was clearly stupid. I'm sorry. I said, could it be a possibility that vaccines that might have been administered to her during her prenatal care visits could possibly have something to do with her death within a year of giving birth? And it was just like, well, we're not doing that. And I mean, it's actually been in the media about concern about all these women dying within a year of giving birth. And you know, at their prenatal appointments, their doctors tell them, oh, for your baby, you have to take the COVID shot because it'll protect your baby. And so I don't know how much money they're throwing at this. I really think Governor Parson is on top of it, and I'm actually going to try to.
Are you on the committee, Marie, yourself? Are you on the committee?
Yes, I'm.
Well, let's talk. I got some thoughts. We don't have time. Privately, I'll share with you my thoughts about. I mean, I've spent half a century as an investigator, so I might be able to give some insight. Well, that's great. Yeah, we'll talk privately about that, and I'll communicate my thoughts on this matter. Anything else before we wrap up the show?
I just get busier as I get one issue kind of cleared up, another comes up. And obviously, you know, the senior tax freeze is probably, you know, a big thing to take on for me. However, you know, God gave me the ability to handle these projects, and we are the very first county to have our petition ready to go because there's several others that are starting them. And we've not only got a required number, we've got 200 or 300 extra signatures. So it'll be hard for them to disqualify enough signatures to keep it from being put on the ballot. But I've learned a lot. I created the petition with the help of Jay Ashcroft's office. I want to give him credit for that. Did some tweaks to make it letter perfect. And so it was kind of interesting learning how to create a petition for a cause. And what gets me, well, the good thing about it, everybody that signs that petition has sworn they will never vote for any of our sitting commissioners again because they've tried to block this. So
that's good. Marie, thank you very much. We look forward to anybody next Friday. We appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye, John.
That's it for the day. That's it for the week. Get your medical supplies, your energy cleaner, essential oils now, like Canyon Farm Ammunition. Never, ever get guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day and weekend. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the largest state of Missouri, but even larger state of Texas. Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.